Why is it that people who have been sexually assaulted are more likely to desire to engage in rape play during sex? By the end of this video, you will know the answer to that question. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, why is it that people who have been sexually assaulted are more likely to desire to engage in rape play during sex? This may seem like an extraordinary question, but it is a question that has occurred to me due to a fascinating new piece of research. Are sexual assault survivors more likely to have rape fetishes? And it was conducted by the Substacker Aella, who also has an extremely large Twitter following, which allows her to conduct these enormous surveys. And she conducted a survey with 182,000 people, 182,000 of her followers, and she asked this question: are sexual assault survivors more likely to have rape fetishes? And she assumed the answer would be no, and was a little bit surprised that the answer was yes. I must say, I would have assumed the answer was yes, and I will explain why later in the video, but this is what she found. She found that when you compare those that have had no assault to those that have had a severe assault, the difference in desiring to engage in rape play during sex is 15 points. If you look only at those that have been assaulted, the state they've been assaulted during childhood, then the difference is even bigger. It's 20 points for women and it's 19 points for men. And if you look at if you control for that, so if you remove the childhood assault, so you're from the system, then of course the gap shrinks. It's only a 7-point gap. So this implies that there is something about being sexually assaulted as a child which drives the desire to engage in rape play when you are older. Now, I should emphasise, it's only a small correlation. The correlation between having been abused and desiring to engage in rape play, it's a small correlation. It's only about 0.1. But on her massive sample, that relationship does exist. Now, why would it exist? Now, there seem to me to be a number of key reasons why it would exist. With regard to childhood, the first possibility is there is some research indicating that people that develop fetishes develop them in part because of some kind of very, very traumatic event, such as a sexual assault that happens to them. So sexuality develops normally along a sort of canal like this, a process of canalization, and something can knock people off the process of canalization. And in most people, they will go back on the normal process of canalization again, but in some people, they won't. And therefore, they will develop a sexual fetish of some kind. They will become almost stuck with something sexual that happened to them at a relatively young age. And it may be that there is a theory that they will, in order to cope with something very, very traumatic happening to them, they will render it sexually arousing, and they will like reliving it, and they will render it sexually arousing as a way of coping with the trauma of what's happened to them. Now, that's one theory. Now, that would make sense, of course, of the possibility of the idea that the driving issue is that if you've been sexually assaulted, particularly as a child, you are likely to want to engage in rape play when you are an adult. It's a sort of way of taking control of what's happening to you and making it somehow pleasurable. But I think there's probably a lot more to it than that, not least because there is a relatively high heritability to sexuality and sexual fetishes and this sort of thing. So I think a second possibility is simply that there is a study on this, sociosexuality as a predictor of assault and of coercive behaviour in females and males. And what this indicates is that there is a correlation between being sexually assaulted and sociosexuality. That is to say that people who are victims of sexual assault are more likely to be sociosexual. That is to say, fast life history strategists, people that are highly sexed. And people that are sociosexual, precisely because they are hypersexual and they become sexually aroused more easily, those people are more likely to develop sexual fetishes. And one sexual fetish could be rape play. So that's a second possibility. The people that are subject to sexual assault are more likely to develop fetishes, and these would include rape play. Now, if you look at the nature of the rape play fetish, what actually is the essence of that fetish? Well, it could be argued that it is what we might call a fast life history strategy fetish. So as I have explained before on this channel, we all sit on a spectrum from a fast life history strategy where the environment is easy yet unstable, so we live fast and die young, to a slow life history strategy in which the environment is stable but predictable, reaches the carrying capacity for the species, we compete against each other, so we slow down, compete against each other, and invest more energy in our offspring rather than sex, and so we become slow life history strategists. In a fast life history strategy ecology of live fast and die young, you basically have to be out for yourself. And the only person that it's worth having sexual intercourse with and, you know, becoming pregnant by is a person that is highly genetically fit, a person that is likely and who is likely to give you offspring that will survive in that ecology. Who will survive in an unstable, dangerous ecology? It's people that are brutal. It's people that are nasty. It's people that are impulsive. It's people that are basically psychopathic, that will act impulsively and violently when they need to be able to do so. That's who survives. Also, it should be emphasised in that context, the difference between males and females, both psychologically and physically, is less, because women don't expect to be invested in, they don't expect to be looked after, they don't expect any help. They are evolved to be basically abandoned, and so they therefore have to take on a lot of the masculinized roles themselves. And so the difference in things like psychopathology and the physical differences between men and women in that kind of ecology are lower. And so in that kind of ecology, the only way that a woman can be certain that a man is the kind of man she wants to get pregnant by and will give her offspring that will survive in that kind of ecology is if the man can dominate her. And so it makes sense that to be, it might sound extraordinary, but it makes sense to be sexually, to have rape fantasies, to be sexually aroused by rape, and for it to be rape up until the final moment when he dominates her, and at that point it is no longer rape. To give a parallel example, think of how it works when a woman gets pregnant. The woman's immune system basically treats the male semen like rape. It throws everything it can at them. It tries to destroy them. It tries to kill them, just annihilate them. And only the single strongest sperm makes it through into the ovum. And at that point, it is basically not rape. So that can be understood to be how these rape fantasies work. And what you would expect, therefore, is that women that were fast life history strategists, women that invest more in sex than nurture, women that were sociosexual, would be more likely to have these rape fantasies. And that is indeed the case. That has been shown to be the case. Women who are sociosexual are more likely to have rape fantasies. I refer you to Women's Rape Fantasies by Bivona et al. In Archives of Sexual Research, and Shulman and Hume, Guilty or Not, in Journal of Sex Research. This is the case. So therefore, we would expect sociosexual women to be more likely to be sexually assaulted, and sociosexual women to be more likely to have rape fantasies. And it wouldn't be the fact that they had been sexually assaulted that would cause them to have the rape fantasies. It would be that the kind of sociosexual person that is more likely to be sexually assaulted is more likely to have rape fantasies. Now, we found, however, that it was driven partly anyway by what happens in childhood. Why would this be the case? Well, the heritability of life history strategy, i.e. of sociosexuality, is about 0.5. And the research indicates that most sexual assaults occur, you know, basically within the family. So what you would expect would be a family that was fast life history strategy would sexually assault its own children, and those children would inherit that fast life history strategy, and therefore those children would be interested in rape play, basically partly for genetic reasons. And so you can see how this all comes together. You have these two key factors here. You have the sociosexuality and its association with being sexually assaulted, sociosexuality and its association with a desire for rape play and rape fantasies, and the fact that one of the things it may be that people do with something highly traumatic is potentially sexualize it as a way of coping with it. And so all of these explanations would make me assume that people who have been the victims of sexual assault would be more likely to develop some sort of sexual assault fetish, and this indeed appears to be the case. Are you ready for the future of the West?